Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but I know that you're listening for a reason. God has a message for you. We've been working on a series here called WWJS, What Would Jesus Say? That's the title of this series that we're doing here on the programming, and over the past few weeks, we've looked at several passages when Jesus said, follow me. That's what he said. Follow me. Two simple words. Follow me. And maybe you're following someone right now on the road, or maybe you're following someone on the sidewalk. Maybe you're following someone, maybe you're following someone you shouldn't be following. Jesus said, follow me. When Jesus called Andrew and Peter, he said, follow me, and they left their nets immediately and followed Jesus. When Jesus called James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and said, follow me, they jumped out of their father's boat immediately and followed Jesus. When Jesus said to Matthew, the tax collector, follow me, Matthew left his income, his cushy office, and immediately followed Jesus. Matthew was an outcast and the lowest of the lowest in the Jewish society or culture, yet he followed Jesus. Matthew not only followed Jesus immediately, he called all of his friends to come and meet and greet Jesus and then threw a big party for Jesus. We are told that Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners, and many of them followed Jesus too. This following Jesus stuff has raised some questions for me. Have you ever wondered who really follows Jesus? Maybe you're not like me. Sometimes I look around and I go, who's following Jesus? Have you ever wondered why people follow Jesus? Have you ever wondered how people follow Jesus? Maybe the question is, how well do you follow Jesus? How well do you follow Jesus? Do I just follow Jesus when it's convenient, but not when it's costly? That's the message of this convenient or costly, safety or security. Last week, we were challenged with some very hard words when Jesus said, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple, Luke 14:27. What would Jesus say, WWJS? That's what we're studying. Follow me. That's what he said. These are two simple words, yet so hard to hear and even harder to obey. This week, we'll be reading one of a passage that's very interesting to me. Did you know that in the Guinness World Book of Records, there's a record that was set for the longest sermon and was broken last November? Yes, a 31-year-old pastor in Mount Dora, Florida, recently set the record for the longest sermon ever preached. Pastor Zach of Cross Church began his quest on Friday, November 7th, and by Sunday had preached for 53 hours and 18 minutes. I have to assume that his church board at Cross Church, or they would have pulled the plug after an hour. During the 2.5-day homiletic marathon, Pastor Zach preached through 45 of his own sermons and displayed more than 600 PowerPoint slides as he moved from Genesis to Revelation, highlighting the theme of God's divine faithfulness. Personally, I'd say having a church put up with a 53-hour message is a sparkling example of congregational faithfulness. According to the Broward News Times, quote, they said, to comply with the Guinness World Record rules, Pastor Zach had to speak before a minimum of 10 people the entire time, and there had to be two independent witnesses to sign off on its validity and monitor his breaks. To ensure these rules were met, church members formed groups to help out and rotated shifts, moving in and out in groups of 10. Some spectators stayed nearly as long as Pastor Zach. Toward the end of the event, hundreds of community members came to see him complete a speech marathon, his preaching marathon, 53 hours. Wow. This sermonic display was done as a fundraiser event to raise money for a local recovery ministry. In my past churches, I suspect the folks would have given money to have me preach shorter, not longer. In addition to whatever spiritual benefits may have come from the lengthy message, the record-breaking sermon raised more than $100,000 for the local charity and drew national news attention. This got me to thinking, what other record-breaking attempts could be made by preachers or teachers? I love to read about what Jesus preached about. Jesus used parables when he wanted to illustrate a point. Sometimes, like in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, we have a long teaching called the Sermon on the Mount. But many times, Jesus had short little vignettes that would hit home with just a few short sentences. Today, we'll look at 8 short verses. But oh, these 8 verses are powerful. Before we read these 8 passages, let us set the stage for the context. In Mark 8, Mark 8 is the turning point of the Gospel of Mark. There are 16 chapters, and chapter 8 is the halfway point of Mark. In the opening of Mark 8, Jesus feeds 4,000 people and the people yet still want to see a miracle. How often are we like that? God does a miracle, and then we still want to see a miracle. God does something miraculous for us, like at the Seed Christian Fellowship, started a church 9 years ago from nothing, and then we demand, as a church or as people, to see a sign so that we can believe. Next up in the chapter, Jesus heals a blind man. I think that this is a foreshadowing of what is to come. Even Jesus' followers are blind when it comes to following Jesus. I would say that we too can tend to go blind emotionally, mentally, and spiritually at times. After Jesus gave sight to the blind man, Jesus brought his disciples to Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was a place of pagan worship. There were at least 3 temples there, a temple to the god August, a temple to the god Zeus, and a temple to the god Pan and the dancing goats. Caesarea Philippi was the location that people thought was the entrance into Hades or the afterlife. It was on a hill overlooking Caesarea Philippi when Jesus asked his followers a deep and profound question. I think Jesus still asks that same question to you and me. Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am?" Your so what comes early. So what? Who do you say Jesus is? When Jesus calls you, will you leave your net and follow him? When you hear these words, "Follow me," will you leave your father's business and jump ashore and follow Jesus? When you hear these words of Jesus, "Follow me," will you throw a party and invite your friends and family to meet Jesus? When Jesus calls you, will you leave your father, your mother, your brother, your sisters, and pick up your cross and follow Jesus? It's a daunting question, but you can count on the fact that Jesus will ask you to follow one way or another. When Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" some of them said that they thought he was John the Baptist or Elijah. Pay attention to what comes next. Jesus gets really personal and he says, "But who do you say that I am?" You see the personal application? He can say, "Who do people say that I am?" But now he asks the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And I would ask that question to you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But it's not by chance that you're listening. Jesus is asking you, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter says, "Well, you're the Messiah." That sets the stage for our reading today in Mark 8, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Before we go to God's Word, let us just have a moment of prayer. Let us pray for the Holy Spirit to just lighten up these words as we read them. Let His light and love shine on them. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, light up these words and have them jump off the pages into our hearts. Let us hear what you want us to hear today. Help us to follow you, Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. We had a member of our church buy a box of Bibles, and he's given them out. We would love to give you a Bible. Email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll mail you a Bible. Mark 8, 31 through 38. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And in verse 34, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Let me read that again. Mark 8, 34. Then he called the crowd to him, and he said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels." You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. And this is Pastor Dave, and we're doing a series on WWJS, What Would Jesus Say? Follow Me. And the title of this message is Safety or Security. And we looked at Mark 8, 31 through 38, but we're going to spend our time on verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I've titled this message Safety or Security. These follow me statements of Jesus are hard sayings. 10 years ago, a small group of people heard Jesus say, "Follow me." Don and Yvonne, Bob and Ruth, Ed and Tina, Keith and Nancy, Don and Joanne, Gary and Sandy, Larry and Joan. Those are their names. They don't mean anything to you, but they started gathering together and seeking God. And those 14 people started a church. The church is called the Seed Christian Fellowship. And they prayed and prayed, and the church just recently, the church that I pastor, just recently celebrated its 9th birthday. And of the 14 founders, there's just several of them left. God took the other families and blew them away by the power of the Holy Spirit to North Carolina, Washington, and Central California. And we give thanks for those people who heard Jesus say, "Follow me." I think of the 9 years of ministry there at the Seed and the people that have come and been blessed and been healed and then have been moved on. To be honest with you, I don't know how that group heard the Holy Spirit or Jesus say, "Follow me." I wasn't there. I was pastoring a large church in Texas. This group of believers started meeting and praying, and for a year or longer, they would call me and ask me if I was interested in coming back to California. The church I was pastoring as head of staff and lead pastor, we lost one of our associates in 2009. Julia, Pastor Julia was her name. She was our associate pastor. Her mother was diagnosed with cancer, and she wanted to move home and be close to her. The church celebrated her ministry with us, and then we sent her back to Louisiana. To this day, I'm still in contact with Pastor Julia and her husband, Matt. In fact, her husband, Matt, just called me yesterday and prayed with me and encouraged me. Friends, that was 10 years ago. After Julia, Pastor Julia left, I was left to do the three services. We were doing three services in English, and we were helping our worship leader start a Korean church in the afternoons. We were doing four services on Sunday morning. 3 in English and 1 in Korean. And after a year of never-ending days, I went and had my yearly physical. My doctor told me that I needed to change jobs. He had never seen numbers so high and so low in their categories, and he told me that I was inviting a heart attack or cancer or a stroke to come into my life. I find it kind of funny in a way. My doctor, he's a wonderful man back in Austin, Texas. He was a Jewish doctor, and he knew I was a pastor. And he told me, you need to find a different job. That was in the May of 2010. My wife and I drove home, and I said, I think God is telling my job here in Texas is done. I received a call from a good friend, Henry, who was a deputy associate warden at the Chino prison. He called me and told me that the Protestant chaplain was retiring, and he wanted me to know if I would be interested in applying for the job. So in early June, I went on a mission trip to Ecuador and spent a week journaling on Isaiah 61, 1 through 8. I'd encourage you to go read Isaiah 61. I'd say that Isaiah 61 was a big reason I ever went into the ministry. I heard Jesus saying, Dave, follow me. As clear as day, I was sitting in a room in Ecuador. We were doing this mission work there, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, Jesus say, Dave, follow me. When I came home from Ecuador, I went to our elders and I resigned. I decided to follow Jesus back to California. I was sure Jesus was calling me into the prison to be a chaplain, set the prisoners free. I left the security and safety net of a large denomination and an excellent salary with benefits and insurance to see if I could get a job with the prison system here in California. To be honest with you, this following Jesus stuff never makes much sense, does it? Leave a good job, a cushy job with benefits and insurance for no job. When I arrived in California in August of 2010, I went down to the prison and shadowed the retiring chaplain. One day, the chaplain told me that he wasn't going to retire just yet. He wanted to wait and see if Jerry Brown, who was being elected governor, was going to change the retirement system. And he said he wanted to see what would happen. Now you can watch what happens. It was August. I had sold my home in Texas, and now I had no job. My wife and I joined that small group of faithful seed planters, I call them. They started meeting with them in Don and Yvonne's home on Wednesday nights. The small group started growing, and they decided to start a church. God even gave one of the members the name of the church when he was always being woken up at 1:23 in the morning. And I told him to go look up all the 1:23 passages, and it was 1 Peter 1:23. You have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but an imperishable one through the living, enduring word of God. We don't have the time to break down all the important themes found in these short 8 verses, but I'd like for us to reflect on Mark 8:34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. After Jesus confronted Peter and told Satan to get behind him, he gives those who want to follow him some hard words. If we want to come behind, that means to follow Jesus, we are called to deny ourselves. The Greek word for deny is a verb, and it means to pay no attention to renounce, to reject, to refuse, to repudiate, to say no. To deny means to pay no attention to renounce, reject, refuse, repudiate, and say no. The taking up of our cross is a continuous, never-ending action that we are called to follow Jesus. Follow me. In the Greek, these words are an imperative command. An imperative in the Greek means, well, it's an imperative, not a suggestion, not a good idea. When Jesus turned to his disciples, he says, you must deny yourself. That means pay no attention to yourself. Boy, that's hard in our world, isn't it? To deny ourselves. We make ourselves number one. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He says, deny yourself. Pay no attention to yourself. To refuse yourself. To say no to yourself. That's really hard. Talk about a hard saying to reject yourself, refuse yourself, repudiate yourself, and just say no to yourself? Come on, Pastor Dave, what are you saying? I'm going to turn the radio off. Don't. Listen, Jesus has a word for you. He says, follow me. Have you ever heard the famous saying, finders, keepers, losers, weepers? Maybe you played that game, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Well, Jesus is saying in this challenge of follow me that losers are keepers. Did you hear me? Losers are keepers. For anyone who wants to save his life must lose it. That's what Jesus says. Anyone who wants to save his life must lose it. Losing is saving. Losers are keepers. Radical discipleship. Lose everything in order to gain everything. That's radical. Jesus is saying, let go of everything so that you can gain everything. Kind of reminds me of a guy I know who left everything in his hometown and moved 6 times in 12 years and finally wound up in Rancho Cucamonga in order to follow Jesus. Roll call. Since moving in 2010 back to California, we've moved 4 times in 9 years. For those of you who like numbers, in 21 years of ordained ministry and 10 moves, prior to following Jesus, my wife and I had only moved 2 times in 12 years. Now we've moved 21 times. I don't know if you've moved lately, but moving's hard. So what? Does he rank among the world's greatest men and among or the greatest fools? He has appeared on the list of both. Why? His talents put him on both lists. He was the chief academic officer of one of Europe's elite schools. He was a world-famous musician. His pen produced many books and papers. His church regarded him as one of the most elegant preachers and most insightful New Testament scholars. What did he choose to do with his gifts? He enrolled in medical school and became a doctor. Then he packed his medical supplies and left for the Congo in Africa. Then he began operating in a hen house. Yes, from the days he learned at his father's feet, Albert Schweitzer knew he wanted to do something for God. He gave up the ease of being talented and famous in Europe to bring healing to some of the earth's poorest people. So what? What is Jesus asking of you? Maybe Jesus is asking you to start a church. Maybe Jesus is asking you simply to follow him every day, every hour, every minute, as you deny yourself and follow. What have you given up in the name and service of following Christ? In what specific ways can you say that you have taken up your cross? This is the question for our series, WWJS. What would Jesus say? I know the answer. Are you ready to hear it? Jesus says, follow me. Deny yourself. Follow me. Not just 1 hour a week, but every hour of every day. Follow me. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us to deny ourselves and to pick up our cross each day, every hour, every minute, and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to, I would encourage you to pray for a very good friend of mine. His name is Dr. Herman and his wife, Barbara. Dr. Herman has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, inoperable, and he's the sponsor of this program. He sponsors us on the radio, and I'd ask you to pray for a healing for him. And if you'd like to sponsor or help sponsor the Seed Faith, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. And go on to online giving and support this ministry. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week, and remember, God loves you. and so do we.